So, kind of addressing two issues, mm-hmm. I've broken them down into two categories, like addressing a behavior, and then preventing a behavior so that they can stay focused and on task and understand and communicate well. So as far as like in a crisis, in a behavior, what have you found that's worked?
Well, basically, I mean, depending on the kid, you know, you either have a little bit of luck, you know, maybe doing like a quick redirect to something that's like, you know, a favorite activity or something like that, gets their mind off of what's bothering them, and they kind of focus more on, you know, what their, you know, what the favorite activity is. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you've gotten, you know, past the point, then basically it's, you know, depending on, you know, what kind of behavior you're going to have.
So, for example, like, if you, so you're saying if you can't read, if you're unable to redirect, you're going to go into, like, a hold or?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on the kid.
Okay.
You know, I might, you know, basically then just make sure, hey, you know, clear the room, get the, you know, get anything, you know, that might hurt them out of the way. And, you know, it might just be a situation where they gotta, you know, sit and, you know, melt for a while if, you know, but then, you know, they might be able to bring it back in.
Right.
I think the hold I don't think you really want to resort to unless, you know, they're going to hurt themselves or they're going to hurt somebody else, you know. So
clearing out the environment.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that should include, like, anything that's overstimulating, like computers and electronics and... Or do you think that those should be left as part of the possible distraction? Just, I know that's very dependent on who it is.
Yeah.
But have you ever found that leaving those types of things can be helpful?
Sometimes. You know, like if, you know, like the iPad's there, you can kind of like grab an iPad, you know, or something, you know, that's a little bit more portable.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe actually, you know, maybe use it to bring them to a spot where they're going to be a little, you know, less stimulated or, you know.
In a case like that where they're using the iPad, do you see it more as for, like, a gaming thing, or have you seen it used more as a communication device? Because, like, we have apps and stuff
yeah.
for communicating, like, I want, or...
Sometimes it can be useful for communication. Like, if we, like, if someone, like, if kids having a meltdown, we're not, and they're not terribly communicative, but they've got the communication program on there, if we had them the iPad and have that called up already, and say, hey, you know, hey, what's bothering you? You know, they... You know, a lot of times, you know, they can give us a message about, you know, like what's bothering them, and then, you know, we might be able to help them, and then, you know,
de-escalate.
Yeah, and de-escalate that, you know, from there. So.
So basically, the iPad, in a way, has replaced our little whiteboards of years prior.
Yeah.
That we used to use.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, even if, you know, they just enjoy music, just pull up some music on the iPad and just, you know, slide it over, and
mm-hmm.
they can calm them down sometimes too.
And again, though, that's a personal thing, because
yeah.
there's music that would amp those up, and then there's music
yeah.
that would be calming to some. And then as far as, like, staying on task and focused and motivated and, like, I guess preventing the meltdown and keeping the communication open, because in my opinion, just as mom, I see a lot of behaviors coming from not being able to necessarily communicate clearly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the number, like, a big trigger for?
Part of it, I think, you know, depends on, you know, being, you know, reading the kid in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If it looks like it's something that might cause some difficulty, then maybe, you know, if they're on task or something, break it up into smaller parts, you know, work in maybe, like, some extra breaks that lets them, you know, decompress a little bit and then go back in.
Mm-hmm. So that, I guess you're saying that they can get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that can cause...
You know, or
sense.
Like, you know, give them some simpler tasks that you know that they're going to knock out and, you know, just lets them move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if they know, oh, I got to get, you know, 3 things done before I can take a break, you know, and you're not sure they're going to get, like, through the 3 things, give them 3 really easy things and then, you know, fine, they get it done in 5 minutes and they're all right, take a break, good job.
Yep.
You know, and they can just go, you know, go decompress.
So,
because a lot of times it'll be like, oh, this is my routine, I have to get this done. It's like, here's 3 easy things, you know, you're done, right?
Right, and routine is huge.
Yeah.
With
it keeps that routine, but, you know, it's a little easier for him. Like, when I was working with Richard, I would do that a lot. He seems like this is bugging him, we'll switch this out, you know, get the, you know, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, he could go, you know, lie down for a bit, or,
So what would you suggest in a situation like that, though, to someone that needs that extra piece? Just for example, you're saying something that's frustrating. So with Jazzy, my son, like learning how to tie his shoe, that might be a frustration to him, but it's an important and necessary thing.
Yeah.
Like, how would you break that up to make, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Tasks that need accomplished, even though they may be challenging.
Yeah. Basically, I think you just kind of have to, a lot of times it might be something where you baby step it, or, you know, they work on it on, you know, like, either like a card, or, you know, like, even if it's like, you know, like a doll or something that's got a shoe that, you know, needs to be tied, if they practice maybe on that first. Where
finding alternative means to get,
and then be able to kind of, you know,
then make it
over.
Circle back around,
yeah,
and transfer. Right? That makes sense.
Because that breakdown, you know, like sometimes just might be that, you know, just finding that rhythm that's good for them.
Right. So, exactly, because saying like we're going to sit here all day until you master tying your shoes, that's
it's not, just
not
gonna
it's gonna
and you know
pointless.
I mean, if there's a day, and if you have the day where it's just not happening, then it just might not happen that day, but you know,
mm-hmm.
say, all right, we'll try again tomorrow, we'll do, yeah, said it'll be better tomorrow, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know,
have you ever run into because you kind of get around everywhere, have you ever run into this like low self-esteem, or feeling like they are not going to be able to do something just because they've not been able to do other things, or
yeah, sometimes, you know, like I said, I'll, you know,
or like Jazzy, sometimes his go-to is I'm dumb, or when he's really not, there is no cognitive delay or anything like that. Just
for a lot of like the life skills kids, I know it's not so much. Well, they'll come out and say something, but like there'll be like a resistance or reluctance to try the task in front of them. You know,
more as a technique to get out of doing what they don't want to do.
Yeah, you know, either you know because they're apprehensive. You know, said, well, I tried something close to this last time, it didn't work. You know, so let's not. You know, this seems a lot like the last thing that gave me trouble. So I don't want to. You know,
right. So they're trying to avoid not only doing what they don't want to do, but then. Maybe in some cases, trying to avoid getting further agitated.
Yeah.
In a way.
Or, you know, hey, everybody else is doing this and I can't, you know, and they won't come out and say it, but you can kind of see it in, like, their actions.
So, like, what would be, like, the number one piece that you could give to someone for de-escalating, like, in the moment?
If there is... A lot of times, if there's something that, like, a comfort to them, you know, something that they feel, you know, kind of, like, safe and secure with, you know.
Any comfort.
Yeah, you know, like, if they have that handy, you can kind of, you know, pass along, whether it's, you know, like, you know, some music that they like to listen to, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be anything.
Or even if it's, like, a fidget or a toy or something, you know.
From like a tangible object to even a key phrase,
yeah,
or something, just to like almost like a reboot button to reset them and get them back on track. That's good. Okay. Thank you.
No,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, for some it was the hand signal. I just go, you know, hey, sit down, you know, pull everything away and just have them calm down, you know. But
that makes sense. I appreciate it.
No problem.